Father, we thank you because you are a miracle working God. You are God of wonders. And that is why we are here this morning, to experience your wonder and your miracle once again through your word. Lord, as we continue this service and as we listen unto you, let your word wrought miracles and wonders in our midst this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, bless your name. In Jesus' name we are praying. Let us put our hands together for the Lord. I want to bless the name of the Lord this morning for the privilege we have once again to come into his presence. And today also, we are celebrating a set of people among us, some of our members, who will soon be leaving the university. Let me confess to you that I actually prepared to give a message this morning. But when I came to church this morning, I discovered I needed to give two messages, not just one message. So what is going to happen? I will start with the first message, because I will not want to take too much of our time. I'll give the first message for about 30 minutes. I will continue later. And I'll give the second message to celebrate our FYB when we are celebrating them. So because of that, the first message I'm going to give now, and I'm going to continue. I won't finish that message today. Even though I plan to finish everything today before. But because of the necessity of the second message, I'm going to conclude this message next time, but I'll start today. And I want to thank God for the way the Spirit of the living God moves in this church. If you attended the workers' prayer meeting this morning, and you follow the flow, and by the time you begin to listen to me, you will see that God is really in our midst. What God actually asked me to talk about this morning is sufficiency of grace. Sufficiency of grace. And when Brother Mola started the workers' prayer meeting this morning, he actually started with the verse I'm supposed to end my message with. Can we put us together for the Lord? Sufficiency of grace. And I take my message, my text, from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. You remember he read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, verse 9 for us in the morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sufficiency of what? Of grace. We told us, and God told us, that this year is going to be time of glad tidings, new things, visitations. And Pastor Will came to us with a word from the Lord on Wednesday and said this is going to be a month of harvest of testimonies. And I know many people are thinking, how will this happen? I have daunting challenges ahead of me. This is what I'm expecting God to do. But when I look at the contending situation, they look difficult. Almost impossible. I cannot actually see the things that should encourage me to say that this will come to pass. Rather, I'm seeing things that actually seem to tell me I should negate it. Paul here was talking about a personal experience that he had a challenge. And he thought, as a man full of anointing, as a man full of revelation, as a man who was called, as a man who carried the mantle of the law and the covenant, that he had no right to be there. It's like they were contending with the purpose and counsel of God for his life. It's as if that would make him to be disqualified for the people. How can you say you are serving God and you are a miracle worker? You are healing people. You are performing wonders. And you have this little challenge. So Paul was angry. That no, I'm beyond this. I should already be above this. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I don't know what is the thing that you feel do not seem to qualify you for what you are expecting from God this year. Or what is the daunting challenge? I want to echo it this morning. Anytime you look at what may be the obstacle, the reason why you will not get what God said you get this year, look for grace. Ask for grace. Focus on grace. Because by grace, it is not about what you can or you cannot do, but it's about what God can accomplish. I know we normally tell ourselves that yes, I can spirit. Yes, we can. Yes, I can. But with grace, it's not a matter of what you can or what you cannot, but it's a matter about what he has the ability to accomplish. Somebody might say, I'm a pre-degree student. This is the course I want to go to university to read. But the way this program is going, how will I get it? For you, Fanaya brethren, people might tell you the labor market is loaded and overcrowded. Where is your hope? But I want to know, God is saying, my grace is sufficient for you. And even in your weakness, my strength is what? It's made perfect. Because if it's your strength that the strength of God is made perfect, then there's no testimony. But God is saying that even in your disqualification, even in your lack of merit, even your lack of prerequisites, even in the lack of the ancillary factors, I am going to qualify you by grace. So this morning, I want to begin to know that there's one thing you need to talk and cry more about, is about grace. Because he said that, I would then rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. So I don't know what I may be ahead of you this year. I don't know what I may be thinking about now, and you are finding it, humanly speaking, difficult to accomplish. I want you to know that if we say this time of visitation, time of visitation is a time of grace. And you see, when God works by grace, he goes above every other thing. And I will just give you one small example. I want us to look at the life of Moses. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Quickly, And then we'll jump later and we'll go to verse 5. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Now look at it. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto you. When Moses was being called by God to go into a very great assignment, Moses looked at himself. He knew he had no qualification. Moses knew he could not win a local government election in the household of Israel that were living in the land of Egypt then. You know why? He ran away from them. He was trying to be their champion. But just two people, two people he confronted, one of them said, look, who has made you to be a judge over us? Just two out of all the several thousand of people of Israel, one of them, 50%, condemned him. By that time, he knew he had no popularity rating. So he had no historical antecedent to go back to the people of God and tell them, look, I am not your leader. They will say, no, we know you. Are you not that vagabond that ran away from judgment? How can you, who is running away from sanction, be the one to be our deliverer? Moses had no qualification. He had no popular rating. He had no popular acceptability. He had no anointing. And when you go to verse 10, let's just jump to verse 10 of that Exodus chapter 4. Go to verse 10. Verse 10, please. We are going to read verse 10 to 15. And Moses said unto the Lord, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither either to for that, even before now. I'm not eloquent up to now. Nor see thou hast spoken unto your servant. See, before now, or even now that you are talking to me, he was telling God. But I am slow of speech and a slow tongue. Say, I'm a stammerer. I have a tight tongue. Anybody who does this job, you are going to appear before the king, Pharaoh. You are going to appear before the people in the palace. You are going to appear before the elder of Israel, who are very conservative, who can argue and reason, who can be logical, who can be rational, who are highly intelligent. I have everything I need to call this job. I don't have. I don't. I am the worst candidate you can ever think of. Nothing, absolutely nothing qualified me. See, not only did people of Israel would disqualify Moses, Moses himself disqualified himself. It is one thing to disqualify you, for people to disqualify you, for another for you yourself to disqualify yourself. So whether the people or himself, he was disqualified. Verse 11, please. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or dead? Or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Then verse 12. God was trying to convince him. Now therefore, go, I will be with thy mouth and teach you what you will say. Verse 13. That's grace at work. And he said, oh my Lord, look at it again. The man is so much, you know, intimidated by his inability, by his weaknesses, that could not see himself rise above his weaknesses. If there's anybody who said today, who is so low in his own estimation, who thinks it's almost impossible for him to move to where he was going, grace will lift you up this morning.
I say grace will lead you all this morning. Beyond your own estimation and beyond the estimation of the people, in the mighty name of Jesus. He said, oh my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. So Moses said, look, just send somebody else. Send somebody. I heard what you are saying, but send somebody else. I need someone else. Not me. Any other person will be okay except me. And look at verse 14 and 15, where I'm going. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron, the Levite, your brother? I know that he can speak very well. Can you imagine? God saw that Aaron was eloquent. God saw that Aaron was a motivational speaker. God saw that Aaron was an orator. God saw that Aaron was an expert in social engineering, in political dynamism, in philosophical argumentation. But God bypassed Aaron and went to somebody who was titan, who was of low speech, who was sent away by some people, who was rejected by his brethren. In my weakness, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. What's your weakness this morning? What is your weakness this morning? Is it weakness of character? Is it weakness of the spirit? Is it weakness of qualification? If you can log on onto the frequency of grace, the strength of the Lord will make perfect. My grace is sufficient for you. So, and I said, I know the Aaron can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh for to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now look at verse 15. And thou shalt speak unto him and put the word in his mouth. That will tell you that God was not looking for the conviction of Aaron. God was not looking for his eloquency. God was not looking for his ability to form words and captivating sentences. Say, you the stammerer, you put the word. So God was not even depending. Aaron also needed grace. Talent without grace is nonsense. When some people who flaunt talent, when some people who flaunt gifts, when some people flaunt their divine ability, when you see people flaunt their divine, their achievements, and they don't realize that there's a need for grace, it's one of the biggest mistakes anybody can make in life. Because I know Aaron can speak very well, but I don't want to speak from his ability, from his talent, from his gifting. But you, this stammerer, you will put the word in his mouth. Okay? You speak, and thou shalt speak unto him and put word in his mouth, and I will be with your whole mouth and with his mouth. God had to be with the mouth of Moses, and from the mouth of transfer to the mouth of Aaron. And I will teach you what you shall do. Can you now see an eloquent man, a confident man that can turn people around with words? God said, no, your job is to be an interpreter to a stammerer. That will be a demotion. Am I right? But God said, that's where my grace can work. It is when you submit fully to the sovereignty of God that grace can have the fullness to operate. You may have plans for this year. You may have your own step. You may have your own agenda laid out. Submit it to God. And ask for grace. And take your eyes away from your weaknesses. From your frailties. From things that seem to disqualify you. God said, you eloquent man, Your job now is to be an interpreter to a stammerer. Aaron say, yes, sir. If Aaron, at any point in time, refuse to wait for Moses to speak, it will be going out of course. Just like Pastor Wade told us this morning. So, he then forgot about his own talent, about his eloquence. He had to wait on Moses for everything. Oh, what happened to you, Mashima? He knew what to say, but he must not say it. He needed to wait to hear. And until this Tamara speaks, the only time that he refused to hear from this Tamara to do things, what happened? That word, he was condemned. Do you remember? The day he refused to wait for this Tamara to give him instruction, and he listened to the bombardment of argumentation from the people, and now took a decision on his own without waiting for this Tamara, that was the day he went out of concourse. May your life never go out of concourse with God. In the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, my brothers and my sister, I don't know what is your worry. Allow grace to challenge that worry. I don't know what is your fear. Allow grace to challenge that fear. I want you to know that when grace is available, the God factor comes into play. And when you have the God factor working for you, every other thing does not really matter. So don't begin to look about the things that are seemingly working against you. Don't focus on things that are seemingly working contrary to your vision, to your goals. All you need to look for is the God factor, and that comes by grace. If we are going to harvest testimony this month, we must begin to ask for grace. Because he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Your qualification might not be sufficient. Your prayers may not be sufficient. Your fasting may not be sufficient. But my grace is sufficient for you. And let me tell you, when the grace of God is in operation, you have seen life falling into you in pleasant places. Because it is by just mere grace. If you put it that way, that connected Joseph from prison to palace. How can there be that connection between the prison and the palace? Is there any connectivity? Is there any similarity? But it was grace that connected him. That grace will connect you to your destiny this morning, in Jesus' name. It will connect you to your destiny this month, in Jesus' name. It will connect you to your purpose this year, in the mighty name of Jesus. When grace comes in, it takes you from the dungeon of Perry to the path of purpose. It makes an ordinary man to be a man of supernatural and extraordinary reputation. And let me tell you something, the way grace works. Even God releases grace sometimes even to unbelievers. Do you agree with me? God sometimes releases grace to unbelievers just to demonstrate his power. Each time I look at the book of 2 Kings and I look at the story of Naaman, I begin to ask myself, How can the Bible say Naaman was what? A man of valor. He was the leader of the army of Syria, and he was defeating the army of Israel. Yet he was what? He was what? A leper. And I was asking myself, what was he using to fight the battle? Can a leper shoot an arrow? Was it AK-47? Can a leper shoot a gun? Eh? Or was it a ballistic missile? Can even throw javelin? How come? And before somebody can become the leader of the army, he must have risen through the ranks. You don't just wake one day and make you the leader of the army. You must have seen battles. You must have taken this. In those days, though, not the generals of or some countries nowadays, I don't want to mention. Who only went to school and do simulation in the office and modeling of war situation, and from there they begin to rise. Do an administrative job. In those days, you cannot be a general overnight. And for somebody who was a leper to now become the head of the army, and that army was now leading the army of Syria and tormenting the army of Israel. Do you think it's ordinary? It was a special grace. So God sometimes just chooses to release his grace on people. If you don't have the grace and want to accomplish great things by your effort, you are just making a mistake. That's why I like the man Moses. When God called him, even though at a point God wanted to get angry with him, but God knew the guy was right. He was sent out of the land of Egypt. Can you imagine? And now say, you should now go and confront Pharaoh. Just let's say somebody now, maybe a Tran or somebody who was chased out of Mordekaike here by OPC. You now say you want to raise an army to go and confront the United States of America. Do you say that? Who will take him serious? You are chased away from Mordekaike by OPC. You know, I say, now I want to raise an army. I want to confront United States of America. Let them set their battle in array. Nobody will take you serious. So Moses knew nobody would take him serious. But when grace came upon his life, my brother, that grace is coming upon your life today. Yeah. My sister, that grace is coming upon your life today. Yeah. In the mighty name of Jesus. When grace comes upon your life, it takes your life from a state of mess to a place of meaning. Anything that's a mess in your life today, the Lord will bring divine meaning into it in the mighty name of Jesus. Rahab was the most derided allot of her tongue. But when grace came upon her life, she was the only one that was became hallowed in that land. Do you agree with me? Mary Magdalene, I keep on saying it, was the most abused woman in the New Testament. They say it was a lot of this and that. When grace came upon her life, people thought it was a demoniac and all that. She became the greatest woman evangelist. Without Mary Magdalene, we don't know the Jesus Christ has risen. When grace connects a man, he pulls the resources of heaven at his disposal. Today, I pray in the mighty name of God, in the mighty name of Jesus, grace will make the resources of heaven to be available and to be at your disposal, in the mighty name of Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you. For in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Let no man depend on strength. Let no man depend on himself. Let no man depend on what he can do. But for every man that relies on grace, grace will lift. And grace will lift you this morning. I say grace will lift you this morning. I say grace will lift you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because on my second message, I will tell you next time on where do you find grace. I just give an introduction to the message. I will tell you where do you find grace, and I'll continue later. I will now, because I will have no second message to it. But in rounding up this part, the first part of the message, I want you to go to Psalm 102, verse 13. I'm going to go back and conclude with 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. But Psalm 102, verse 13. Psalm 102, verse 13. Thou shalt rise and have mercy upon Zion. For time to faithful are, ask God. The said time is come. Thou shalt rise and have mercy. Mercy. God will have mercy on you this morning. And the mercy will bring grace. And the grace will bring to pass actualization of your time. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thou shalt arise. Will somebody call on God this morning? God, arise and have mercy upon me. And let this time now be time to favor me. Can you stand on your feet? Say, Lord. And as we're going to pray that prayer, we want to conclude with 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, the first passage we read this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, and always have all sufficiency in all things. When grace is available, you have sufficiency of all things. There's only lack when grace is not available. The absence of grace leads to the presence of lack. The presence of grace leads to the absence of lack. The level to which you lack is the level to which the grace is not available. But this morning, God is promising, I will make all grace. Is it physical? Is it spiritual? Is it financial? Is it marital? Is it academic? I will make all grace. How many? How many? Nothing is excluded from any department of your life. No department of your life is excluded. God will make all grace available to you, that you always will have sufficiency in all things. I want you to focus on God this morning. And you tell this song, and after that you pray, and we then pray for you. There shall be showers of blessing. This promise of God.
Thanks from the Savior above, showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings. Promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above.
Can you spend 1 or 2 minutes asking for grace to abound to us in all things? Can you spend 1 or 2 minutes asking for mercy and favor? Can you ask for mercy of God upon your life? Can you ask for the grace in abundance to make all things sufficient unto you? Can you begin to focus on grace? Can you begin to ask that grace will connect you to a purpose? That grace will connect your destiny? That grace will connect you to fulfillment? That grace will make the resources of heaven available unto you to accomplish everything and everything? In Jesus' name we are prayed. Heavenly Father, God of grace and grace in abundance, I pray for your people this morning, including myself. Lord, have mercy upon us in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever may be our weaknesses, may you make your power to be perfect, even in our weaknesses, in the mighty name of Jesus. Despite everything that disqualifies us, despite everything that is contrary to us, despite what we have or we don't have, Lord, let your grace lift us from where we are to where we should be, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your grace transform our lives. Let your grace transform our lives. Make your grace to be abundant unto us, that we may have sufficiency of all things, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your grace drive away lack. Let your grace drive away fear. Let your grace drive away doubts. Let your grace bring unto us testimony, an harvest of testimonies. Lord, by your grace that is sufficient, household of cedar, we have the harvest of testimony this month and this year, in the mighty name of Jesus. By your grace, we will experience our time of visitation now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we are praying.